Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Chase and Michelle, hour number two, 1025, 1063, the game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezevic, the reporter, Nick Kieser, reporting all the things. Hope you're having a fantastic Monday. Talking some hoops now, as the SEC tournament will tip off this week at Bridgestone Arena, Wednesday. Looking forward to it. We're going to be there Thursday and Friday. Got some great games on hand. Vanderbilt will play Thursday night at 8 o'clock. And I got to tell you, I'm disappointed, not that they're getting to play Thursday night, but I wanted to go so bad, and I'm going to have to do a Preds game.
Oh, yeah, because they needed a couple different scenarios to happen to get the four seed. Or no, sorry, to get the five seed. They needed Kentucky to lose, I think, to be able to get the double bye somehow. A bunch of different scenarios to happen. But, yes, they will play Thursday night, either Ole Miss or LSU. And I think they probably want a rematch with LSU.
So. I wonder if the Preds will let me do pre and post from Barrel House.
That way
I can go watch the game.
Why not?
I might look into that. That could be fun. But Vanderbilt gets the win against Mississippi State on Saturday, which is big because every little win counts for them as they try and punch their ticket to the big dance. Unfortunately, I think they're going to have to probably get some help and do a little more in the SEC tournament, even though they beat Mississippi State 77-72. You know, they're 18-13, 11-7 in the SEC. That's their record. But when you look at some of the metrics that the committee uses, one, how are they going to view Liam Robbins? Are they going to punish them because mm-hmm. Liam Robbins is hurt and out for the season? Unfortunately, I think they might. And two, they're low in the net. And when Jerry Stackhouse joined the show on Friday, we asked him about that and how he felt about the net and how that might hurt them when it comes to the committee. What do you think about the net as a whole and how that factors into to things when it comes to the committee making their selection?
Well, I think net stinks. They have us so low. If they had us a little bit higher, I might feel a little different about them. But again, like I said, man, I think our strength of schedule speaks for itself. Man, I think it's, 17th in the whole country right now, third in the SEC. And we played the most, quad one in two games, 18, and I think we're 8-10 in those games. So, it's just about us finishing, controlling what we do. I mean, I know these metrics, they take into account, but I think more so than anything, the eye test. And I think we present a good picture of what we've been able to do, how we're playing. Of course, you want to win games early on, but winning games back in October and November do they have the same value? You want teams to get better, and I think our team has shown that we've gotten better. We've had one loss in February, and obviously we March is starting off to a good start so far. So we just got to continue to handle our business. Again, a lot of that other stuff I think will take care of itself if we continue to do what we need to do.
That was Jerry Stackhouse on our show on Friday. And look, there are definitely some wins that I think helped them. They beat Arkansas when Arkansas was 15. Obviously, they beat Tennessee, the sixth-ranked team in the country at the time. Win over Auburn, which I think is a good one. They've swept Florida.
Went over Kentucky in Rupp Arena.
Yeah, went over Kentucky at Rupp. LSU hurts. That's one that you'd like to have back. But you said it. I'm going to give you a ton of credit because you said it after the Tennessee win that if they win out, they're going to be in the conversation. They lost one game since that point. I mean, it's a tremendous run that they've been on. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, now I think personally they should get in. They've done enough. there might be a little bias there, but I think that you look at some of the other teams in the SEC. Like right now, who's in from the SEC?
So, okay.
Tennessee.
So, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, Arkansas,
A&M.
Missouri. Did I not say A&M already?
No, you said Arkansas.
A&M. Mississippi State and Mississippi State, I think, after that loss is now on the bubble.
Yeah.
So, them, they're a question mark. Obviously, Vanderbilt's a question mark. I think you have about six locks.
Auburn,
right now.
I think, with Auburn beating Tennessee on Saturday, that helps them.
I think Auburn would have to make a significant run in the SEC tournament to win. They needed to win that game against Alabama the other day. Auburn right now is not in.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of look at this Vanderbilt team, and you know, we talk about that LSU game, and I talked about this with Willie, right? Vanderbilt's a better team than LSU, but it was more of the like law of averages of Vanderbilt was on such a hot streak and LSU had not won a game since December, and it was okay, they just won at home. But when you look at this Vanderbilt team, I don't think that LSU loss is the one that hurts them. So we had Elijah Campbell on Saturday with us in discussing the whole Vanderbilt situation and the net and what all is factored in. I think that Vanderbilt is a tournament team. I truly do. I think they are good enough to get into the tournament. But I look at why they are, you know, so far down in the net. They're 83, I think, in the net right now. Their quad 3 and 4 losses earlier this year, I think really, really are hurting them. I don't think they should matter as much as the wins they're having later in the season. But I look at a team like UNC, who I think with the loss against Duke this weekend is out now or on the bubble because that loss really, really hurt them. They have one quad one win, but are 49th in net because they don't have any quad 3 or 4 losses.
Right.
So Vanderbilt has better wins, but worse losses than a team like that, for instance. But I'll bring up a team that we saw last year, and we brought it up this morning with Rex Road. I said Texas A&M last year. I looked at Texas A&M's schedule last year, and it's very, very similar to Vanderbilt's this year. You know, their conference record doesn't matter. It's more overall record. It's very, very similar. And Texas A&M made a run all the way to the SEC championship game. And we thought, okay, they've proved themselves. They've done enough. They still didn't make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you're right.
It's very possible. And I think what we've seen from this Vanderbilt team, yes, they are a good enough team, but do they have the full resume to be in? And I think we forget and we just look at the SEC and what they've done in the SEC. But, I mean, look at, I'm sure there's teams around the country that, you know, have had similar runs who play in the Big 12, who have to play some of the best teams in the country every week. So it's tough. I really want to see them get in because it'll be fun, but it's going to be really tough to see if they do.
At worst, they should host an NIT game.
Correct.
I mean, that should be at worst. So ESPN Plus has their bracketology and where they view things right now. For the SEC, the locks they have are exactly how you said it. Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Missouri.
Yep.
Should be in is Auburn. They believe Auburn should be
That's
in.
That's interesting.
Work to do Mississippi State and Vanderbilt. And under Vanderbilt, they say, you've seen it happen before. Team gets hot and plays their way onto the bubble just as the regular season is drawing to a close. But you probably never seen it happen the way Vanderbilt has done it. The Commodores are 8-1 over their past 9 games. The one loss didn't come against Auburn or Tennessee or Kentucky, however. No, the defeat happened at LSU. To top it off, Jerry Stackhouse's team won the season finale at home against Mississippi State while playing without leading scorer Liam Robbins, who is out for the season with a leg injury. Congratulations, Vanderbilt. You're on the bubble, and you did it your way. So, I mean, look, they're very much on the bubble.
I think a lot of it, too, has to do with other teams. So you don't want UNC to make a run in the ACC tournament. I think
that's what's so ironic, too.
I know. When we had Jerry Stackhouse on, his alma mater, right? He's watching the game before, but secretly, probably in his head, he's thinking, I kind of hope they don't win because they're a team like us fighting for a tournament spot. And if you're Vanderbilt, you obviously got to win your first game. That's going to be either Ole Miss or LSU. Then you face Kentucky. You know, you all know I follow this team very, very close. They've done it once. I think they can do it again. I think it'll be a tall task. you face Kentucky for the late game on Friday night. If you beat Kentucky, then I think you cross your fingers for Texas A&M. I don't have the bracket pulled up in front of me right now, but I think it would be Texas A&M, obviously assuming if they win their game, who I don't know who it would be against right now. But that would be your path to the SEC championship game.
So this is what we got. So Wednesday, March, so this Wednesday when everything kicks off, you will have South Carolina will take on Ole Miss. That's a 6 o'clock start. That's the first game. And then Georgia LSU. On Thursday, Florida takes on Mississippi State. Tennessee will get the winner of South Carolina Ole Miss.
Okay.
And then
I misspoke on that.
Yep. And then Auburn will play Arkansas. And then Vanderbilt will get the winner of Georgia LSU. I believe Vandy can beat Georgia or LSU. And especially if it's LSU, there's going to be revenge on their mind. So I feel like Vandy's going to win and move to Thursday, in which they would play.
Vandy's first game is Thursday.
Yes. So they would play Kentucky. If Vandy.
Friday.
If Vandy beats Georgia or LSU on Thursday, they would move to Friday.
Kentucky.
And they would play Kentucky Friday night. So And look, if they
maybe
win that
home
one,
court without Liam
if
Robbins.
They win that one and they move, if Vandy beats Kentucky and they move to Saturday, I think you got a really good chance.
I think you have a really good chance. I think that it's still going to be tough, though. I bring back that. I think a lot of it, too, a lot of it is what Vandy does, but I think a lot of it, too, is what other teams around the country do that are on the bubble. You talked about an Auburn team. I think if Auburn has an early exit from the SEC tournament, I do not think that they should be in the tournament.
Yeah,
they have had
I agree.
Some bad losses. I think they're under 500 in the conference. I don't know what their overall record is. Talk about them. Talk about UNC if they make a run in the ACC tournament. And other teams that are currently on the bubble. Mississippi State, what do they do in the SEC tournament? Because they're also going to play a role into this as well. So I think it's what Vandy does, but it's also what other teams around the country do in these conference championships, especially the ones that are kind of just peeking in. Are they a tournament team? Absolutely. I think they have the talent, but will they be able to get in based off of everything they put in to figure out who gets into the tournament? I don't know.
615-737-1025. Love talking some college hoops.
Best thing.
Coming up next, we'll reset the big stories in the NFL. There's been a lot this morning. And Jeffrey Simmons, what that means for the Titans. He's deleted all his socials. Is he upset with the Titans or is he, mad at somebody? I don't know. I was trying to make a joke and I couldn't finish it. But anyway, okay. We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, the game.
No, conversation went really well. Frank in the weight room has done a good job of letting me know when guys are around because I'm still getting to know these guys. And so I make sure if I know there are players in the building, I go down to the weight room, training room, or locker room where they are just to introduce myself and let them know that my door is open if they want to have further conversation about anything, whatever it is, and they're more than welcome to come in. And Jeffrey was one of the guys that took the invite, and we sat and had a 30-minute conversation, realized we had a lot of people in common. And so it was really a get to know each other and, break ground. But the first question I got when I got the job was from my 6-year-old son. And he asked if Jeffrey Simmons was going to be his boy, And so I had to ask Jeffrey if he wanted to be my 6-year-old son's boy. So Jeffrey's cool with it right now. I told my son, Jeffrey might not like you. So we'll see when we get there. But it was a great conversation and he's a cool dude.
That was Rand Carthon at the Combine last week talking about Jeffrey Simmons. He would be asked several more questions about it in which he would say, I'm not going to discuss negotiations publicly.
Yes.
And he kept going back to that. So that's what it is. But Jeffrey Simmons, is, he's acting like a teenager because he, deleted his social media and, all that stuff. Even though I think it's a good idea that he did that. But, because last year we had to live through A.J. Brown tweeting something and deleting it.
Well, Chase, sorry not to cut you off quick. We have a little breaking news from Ian Rappaport.
Uh-oh.
The Titans are expected to release pass rusher Bud Dupree. Sources say the former big ticket free agent signing who was due $17 million this season. More player turnover to relocate resources, and another veteran pass rusher hits the market. So that was a domino we were looking to fall. We thought maybe it would be a post-June 1st cut. But
they can still designate it for that. But
so, yeah, so that's the news coming out. Ian Rappaport just reported that 2 minutes ago. So not too surprised on that. He was a guy who we thought maybe they would talk to him about kind of restructuring the contract because you can't pay him that amount next season just based off the productivity he's been able to give you the last two seasons. You can't pay him $17 million a season because he just wasn't able to stay healthy on the field for you. And Mike Vrabel mentioned that a couple times this season, talking about some of these players getting paid big bucks. They got to be on the field for us. So Bud Dupree will be there. The Titans are expected to release him. So that was the report by Ian Rappaport just a couple minutes ago.
I'm not surprised. Well, I'm not surprised, yes, but I was kind of hopeful that they might figure something out. I do wonder if they asked him if they tried to renegotiate and he said no, and they ultimately just said, "All right, we've got to release you then."
You're, you know, older in the league right now. You fought through injuries. I mean, if he would have taken,
he couldn't
a pay
play
cut,
on that number.
There's no way, though. I mean, I don't see another team picking him up and paying him even close to that.
Right, yeah.
I mean, after two seasons, I think he played – I mean, I don't have the exact number off the top of my head, but I think it was like under 15 games in combined two seasons just based off of how much he'd been injured. So not surprised by that move. We actually talked about that when the cuts of Robert Woods, Taylor Lewan, Randy Bullock, and Zach Cunningham. We actually mentioned the Bud Dupree. Would that happen in the next couple of weeks? And here we are.
To me, they have now, you know, the checklist, they're covering all the things, and I feel like the next move is going to be, all right, what happens with Tannehill?
Yes, yes, yes it is. That is, I think, the next veteran guy paid a lot of money who you have, you know, a question about. And actually, I saw this on Twitter. This is from Michael Silver on Bally Sports. I just tweeted it out on my Twitter, but an excerpt from there, he was kind of doing a write-up from the Combine, and he said, in quote, among players being shopped at the Combine include Tennessee Titans running back Derrick Henry. So that was from Mike Silver of Bally Sports. I just tweeted out the article on my Twitter. So among the players, Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins, and Jalen Ramsey. But obviously, Derrick Henry here.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. And now we're seeing the Bud Dupree move.
Well, and it goes back to the further discussion of what kind of cash they have. You know, if they're... Look, they may decide, hey, we kind of like the Predators. We need to take a few steps back to take more steps forward to get stuff done, you know, by the time the new stadium opens, and they may do that.
No, you're right. But I look at that position, too, of now you're going to need more depth at that position.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's something that they're certainly going to be dealing with over the course of the next week or so. Derek Carr, now official to the New Orleans Saints. He has tweeted, "Who dat?" So that makes it official that Derek Carr will be the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints now. But I'm curious now that I feel like dominoes are starting to fall. Now that we're post-combine,
yeah,
there's stuff coming out.
A week out from, like you said, the free agencies, a week from today is
illegal tampering period took place in Indianapolis. The legal tampering
exactly.
period starts
are,
a week from today.
We're in there right now, but no, I agree, Chase, right? Combine happened. We're going to be seeing moves made, and next week – it's funny because you mentioned as soon as the legal tampering period opens, it's like 30 minutes after it, X, Y, and Z team signed this player. It's like, oh, that happened. How did that come together so quickly? It's funny how things just work out like that. But like we said, Titans expected to release pass rusher Bud Dupree, and that's going to save them about $9.3 million on their cap this year.
Do you believe, yes or no, Derrick Henry will be the running back for the Tennessee Titans in 2023?
So I haven't had a chance to fully read that Bally Sports article. I just read
Michael
that,
Silver.
I just read the excerpt about different players being shopped at the combine. And that makes me think a little differently. Not going to lie, Chase. I mean, Rand Carthon's opening press conference, you talked about running backs, how they're so important to the game. Derrick Henry, his dad, Maurice Carthon, a legend. But this report has me, you know, scratching my head a little bit. We're seeing them make big moves. Teron Davenport said that the Titans like C.J. Stroud as far as this quarterback's class. Could they be making moves and trying to shop different players to go up and get a higher draft pick to get a quarterback? I don't know, but this definitely makes things a little bit more interesting. And I know I haven't answered your question yet. Yes or no question. I'm going around and around.
You're going around the world.
I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say yes, he will be, because I think it's posturing. That's what it is. If it, this is one thing that the piece says, if the Titans were to trade him, the Titans would incur a dead cap hit of $10.1 million in 2023, but they would save about $6.2 million, the price the acquiring team would be responsible for picking up. Now, that's beneficial to the team that gets him and obviously would help you get a better return, but to me, you're not – I mean, you're still taking a $10 million cap hit if you move him. If you so that's where Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel have to weigh. We can re-sign him and extend the deal and move the money around from this year to give cap relief for this year. But do you want to do that with an aging running back? That's the question. He still had 1,700 yards last year.
He still was second in rushing in the NFL behind Josh Jacobs, and he missed two games, I think. He missed Dallas and –
yeah, he took I think that was the only one.
Oh, well, maybe Dallas. Yeah. But, right, I mean, he was right up there. His production was what you're expecting from him. And, you know, as far as trading, would you be able to get a fourth-round pick?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the price would be.
Maybe, but could he be a part of a package if the Tennessee Titans are looking to put something together to go and get their quarterback of the future?
We will ask Jonathan Hutton of Outkick 360 his thoughts on this and much more. We'll do that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic. Let's talk to Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360. He's presented every week by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Visit Blend Bar in the heart of downtown Nashville today. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars is luxury redefined. Hut, what's up, my man?
Morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, guys. Hope everything is well.
Oh, it's fantastic. A lot of stuff happening in the NFL right now. And I was going to lead this off with the Titans and Jeffrey Simmons deleting his social media, but I want to start with a report that came out by Michael Silver from the Combine that the Titans were shopping Derrick Henry. Do you buy that, and could you see Derrick Henry actually being moved this offseason?
I buy any scenario other than Jeffrey Simmons not being back with this team. Like, let me start there, because I think the priority when Rand Carthon came in, the priority if John Robinson were back, it was get Jeffrey Simmons and the extension done, first and foremost. Now with the GM change and the regime looking beyond 2023, knowing they've got to build back a roster that was, not the roster that is, I think any option is on the table, starting with Tannehill and Henry. And those two guys will tell us more or less the direction that we're going to witness in 2023. This is a team that decided at the time to invest heavily in running back. And because of that, they couldn't pay guys like Corey Davis or Jonnu Smith. And when it came time, they had money invested in Tannehill and Henry and not A.J. Brown. And when they restructured and kicked the can down the road a bit with Henry's contract last year, what it really became was a one-year contract that made him movable this year, whether through release, through a trade. They could also restructure and continue to build around him in the backfield. But if they feel like they can get the same type of production, or they feel like they're going to trade Henry a year early, not a year late, then they make that move this offseason and they can free up some cap space. It won't be a lot because there will be a dead cap hit based on if they've traded him now versus after a certain point in time. But if they're trying to move him like they have with Bud Dupree, Dupree just going to be a waiver release. And in the case of Henry, they would want to trade him because he's a very specific piece to a team that wants to be run-oriented. And I can tell you right now, he would fit greatly, great fit for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, and he's familiar with the head coach, so that could certainly work for him. With Derek Carr signing with the Saints, and he's made that official. He's already tweeted who dat. That fills one spot. That takes one quarterback off the market. What do you think that does for the value of Ryan Tannehill if the Titans wanted to make a move there?
It's a good question. I think it it's a really good thought because after Rodgers, of the quarterbacks that are going to be available, it comes down to Jimmy G or like a Baker Mayfield type player. And if you want a veteran, if Tannehill's available, he's next in line, at least how I view things. You know, the Jets have been thrown out there as a possibility, but the Jets are all in with Aaron Rodgers. It sounds like it's Rodgers' decision to either retire or go to the Jets. You know, do the Raiders just – is it as simple as the Raiders are going with Jimmy Garoppolo? Possibly. Look, the Titans could also view this as they're looking for a way to keep Tannehill a year and then also get a quarterback for the future. We've discussed this at length over the recent weeks, too, and I've never ruled that out. And I think that could certainly be a situation that they go down after they figure out their offensive line. The Tannehill move, one way or the other, is going to tell us everything about how they view 2023, because we know that Carthon is in here to rebuild the roster. Amy Adams Strunk said as much when she fired Robinson. And I can tell you that Vrabel wants to win in 2023. So how do they go about doing that? Well, they've got to reform and reshape and retool, rebuild their offensive line. And then it works around that. That's what they have to put in place, and I think a lot of the moves right now are freeing up a ton of money so that they can be aggressive in free agency and the draft.
We've got Jonathan Hutton on with us from Outkick 360. Jonathan, you mentioned you haven't ruled out that the Tennessee Titans could try to move up to get their quarterback of the future in this year's draft, but then you also said that you could not see them moving off with Jeffrey Simmons as they try to come to a contract with him. He deletes all his social media, kind of how a lot of players have been doing that when they're in contract negotiations. But do you think the Tennessee Titans would be able to put a package together to move up to get a quarterback, even if Jeffrey Simmons isn't in it?
Like, yes.
What would that package look like?
Well, it'd be future picks. You trade future picks more than you would current talent. And there are, you know, the Bears, for instance, if you wanted to move up to the first overall selection, that's going to be a heavy price tag to move around and do that. But if you wanted to move, you know, to three ahead of Indy to make sure that you get the quarterback that you want outside of the first two, maybe Indy can move up to one. There are a lot of different price tags based on who you think is going to be doing the moving. And the Titans at 11 could also say, hey, you know, we really like Anthony Richardson, you know, so we don't have to move. So it depends on who they want to go get. And, you know, maybe Richardson's the guy that everyone's going to chase now after the combine. I don't think that, to me, he's more valuable than a C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young personally, but maybe they do. Then they feel like they got to move up a few spots. They got to get ahead of New York, depending on what happens with Daniel Jones. There are just so many other scenarios that would factor into why you would have to throw Simmons in the mix. But of all of the players on their roster, he's the best one. Mm-hmm. He's their best player. And I don't know why they would trade their best player who is going into his prime, going into contract number two, and a guy that, you know, exemplifies everything you want within the organization. So to me, the one thing that I took off the table was Jeffrey Simmons. Everything else, Michelle, is by far on the table, and the Titans are talking about it. You can tell by the discussion.
Sorry about that. A little sound issue there, Jonathan. So Chase mentioned the quarterback market right now. This morning, Derek Carr signs with the Saints. We've got Aaron Rodgers with a question mark. Don't know what he's going to do. You mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo. We talked Tannehill a little bit. But one quarterback that I'm really interested in is Lamar Jackson with the Ravens. I'm very much set on that I don't think he will be with the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, there's been some reports on whether if the Ravens can't come to a deal with Lamar, are they going to franchise tag him? Could you see Lamar somewhere else? Do you think he's going to be with the Ravens? And if he gets franchise tagged, do you think he will participate in anything, Jonathan?
I mean, if he gets the exclusive franchise tag, he's going to get around $45 million. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why he wouldn't sign that. And that locks in. Plus, if they go with the non-exclusive tag, another team could come in and offer him. He could sign that offer sheet. And if they chose to let him walk, the Ravens would have right of first refusal. Then they would receive two first-round picks from said team as compensation. So that's also a route they could go tomorrow whenever the deadline rolls around. Looking at the way the Ravens are built, the value for Lamar Jackson is extremely high for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, could you put a package kick? Armando Salguero from OutKick mentioned this on our show last week. He's like, why wouldn't, if you're Baltimore, offer Lamar Jackson as part of a package for the number one overall selection with the Chicago Bears, and then go draft the quarterback that's your next Lamar Jackson. If you're having problems signing Lamar Jackson, you know, he's been hurt. He's finished the last two seasons on the bench, each of the last two seasons, the last five games of the season. But he's a dynamic athlete when he's on the field, and I think there's probably only six, maybe seven guys ahead of him in terms of just true athletic value for a roster at the quarterback position for who you would want. I mean, AFC quarterbacks, and then Lamar is right there in the middle of them. So from Baltimore's perspective, they've got to get a deal worked out. From Lamar Jackson's perspective, he's looking for the fully guaranteed contract. And the way he goes is going to set up contracts for Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Tua, whenever that contract comes up. So many questions about the future quarterback contracts, and it all hinges, I think, around Lamar, because he's dug in on what he wants. And what he wants is more than $50 million per year average, which is what Baltimore gave him reportedly in an offer. The problem with that is only 68% of the money was guaranteed, and we know how much of the percentage was guaranteed for Watson. So that's what Jackson wants. And if you're trading for him, if you're trading for Jackson, that team also knows what Jackson wants. So I would just put the pieces together on the teams that were involved for Deshaun Watson. Who was willing to pony up and at least go towards the ceiling that Cleveland gave? Atlanta was in the mix. New Orleans was in the mix. And New Orleans now has their quarterback. The Atlanta Falcons would be the team I would watch if we're going to see a trade for Lamar Jackson.
So the Atlanta Falcons, 2023 Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, question mark, Jonathan?
No, I think it would be one or the other. I think the money that you would need for Jackson is going to be way different. And look, they Atlanta right now has about $65 million in cap space. This is the first year that Arthur Smith has had this job where he has not been handcuffed with the moves that he can or cannot make. Mm-hmm. they had to eat the salary, part of it with Julio Jones. They had to eat the salary on the cap for Matt Ryan. All that's finally behind them, and now they've got room. They're the second best team in terms of cap space right now, second only to the Chicago Bears. So with roughly $65 million after the release of Mariota, they've got room to work, and they can work in a big money deal for a quarterback. They have other options. They've got to get better on defense, but I think they're going to be extremely aggressive with what they do. And I think one of those could be trading for Lamar, because again, they were in the market for a big, big contract with Deshaun Watson, and they backed out last minute on the fully guaranteed nature of it. That's how Cleveland got back in the mix. I would keep my ears and eyes close to the ground and close to the Atlanta skyline if I'm Lamar Jackson looking to get out of Baltimore.
We'll see how it all shakes out. It's hard to believe legal tampering starts a week from today, Hutt. So it's going to be fun to watch. But thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah, and as we know, the illegal tampering has already started.
Oh, no doubt.
That's been started.
That happened in Indy. We have seen it with our own two eyes, for sure. Jonathan, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Always enjoy this. Have a great day.
You too.
Jonathan Hutt, Outkick 360, presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Visit Blend Bar in the heart of downtown Nashville today. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars is luxury redefined, and you can catch him as a part of Outkick 360 weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. We will put a bow on things and hit on some stuff that we haven't as of yet, including what's going on in Memphis with the Grizzlies and Ja Morant. We'll do that all next. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Nashville's best deal this week is from Seafood Sensation. Often imitated but not duplicated, it's Nashville's original seafood restaurant. While supplies last, grab half off a $25 gift card to the Seafood Sensation located at 2209 Murfreesboro Pike in Antioch, and enjoy some of your favorite seafood dishes like their crab legs platter, grilled salmon, and more at thegamenashville.com/deals. And it's that gift card only good for their Antioch location. Back here, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are in a giving mood today, so we're going to give Preds fans and anybody a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Seattle Kraken on March 25th at Bridgestone Arena. You can join the Nashville Predators on that day for Hockey Fights Cancer. The puck drops at 1 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena. The first 100 fans to purchase a special Hockey Fights Cancer theme package will receive a special Preds beanie with $10 off every ticket purchase going directly, with $10 of every ticket purchase going directly towards the 365 Pediatric. Good grief.
Words are hard.
Cancer Fund. Experience Smashville this month and grab your Preds, your friends and family for a fun Saturday out with the Preds. All right, with that, and if I believe that is Statue Day.
Yes, the 25th is Statue Day.
So that is Statue Day for
Pecorine Statue.
Yeah. So Nick, without further ado, you have our trivia question, which you must answer to win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Seattle Kraken.
Now, please call me if you want to win these.
Yeah, don't text.
This is a huge game to attend. It's Ellie Tolvanen's return as well. So, my question for our Preds fans out there. The Nashville Predators made one move for a player at the trade deadline. He has a new jersey number, and he joins two Nashville Predators that formerly wore this jersey number as well. So, the number is 71. But can you tell me at least two other players in the Nashville Predators' history that have worn this same number previously?
Nope.
Okay. I can tell you both of them. 615-737-1025. You must call. Nick Kieser, you cannot text him. So, and the first one to get that correct will win these tickets.
615-737-1025.
Thank you.
In case you didn't get the phone number.
Ja Morant, this situation in Memphis with him right now, and we haven't talked about it, but he's away from the team. Taylor Jenkins said there's no timetable for his return. He's allegedly punched a 17-year-old. He was seen on Instagram holding a gun. A lot of stuff going on with him right now, and it's a really unfortunate situation in general, But it's also unfortunate for the Grizzlies, who have had a really good season, because now, I mean, it's hurt the team. You know, his best, the best player is away. But obviously, he's got to get his stuff together with all of this. And his teammates are saying the right things and being supportive of him. But this is just crazy of what's going on with one of the best players in basketball.
No, I agree. It's been pretty much the top story on every national news network. Keyshawn, J-Will, and Max were talking about it all morning. I was listening a little bit. And, you know, I think so often, too, we forget that, and I'm not saying any of this, none of this behavior is okay or anything along those lines. But, you know, we see a lot of these young NBA players, one and done. Ja was 2 years at Murray State. You get drafted and you get these huge contracts in the NBA. It's unlike any other sport. And you get thrown into this lifestyle that is just something you're very unfamiliar with, right? And I'm not saying any of his behavior is okay, but, you know, you question sometimes how that affects their mental health and how that affects, you know, just their life in general, of being thrown in such a fast-paced lifestyle and things like that. And I think Ja has always been one of those guys who was the underdog right at Murray State, even though he did go second overall, right, coming from a smaller school. And watching this happen, it's sad that all this is happening, because it's not the guy that we thought we knew of Ja, and he's obviously going through something right now. So he's suspended for a couple games. You mentioned the Grizzlies. They're in the Western Conference trying to fight for a playoff spot. Brandon Clark also suffered a season-ending Achilles tear last night. So that was huge for them. He's out for the season. And Western Conference just got a lot more stacked. Kyrie heading to the West. KD heading to the West. LeBron's hurt. But, yeah, this Ja Morant situation, it's just –
yeah, and it's bigger than basketball, obviously, with the off-the-court stuff. But I think sometimes you see players in any sport go through something off the court that is preventable and of their own doing, but at the same time shows the human side that they gotta learn the hard way. And it feels like that is what Ja Morant's going through right now. So, again, Taylor Jenkins saying there's no timetable for his return to the team.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll keep an eye on that. In some other things that happened over the weekend, big win for the Belmont women's team.
Yep, they won the Missouri Valley Conference. So they'll be heading to the tournament this year. I got the pleasure of covering the team a little bit this year. They've got a stellar point guard in Destiny Wells. She had over 20 points, but you know, huge win for them. First year in the Missouri Valley Conference, big jump from the Ohio Valley to the Missouri Valley. And coming out on top, first year in the conference, win the conference. They'll be heading to the tournament. Belmont men's basketball, they lost in the first round by 3 points. So that's a tough loss for them, early exit in the tournament. But yeah, things are really just ramping up with basketball. We got the SEC tournament coming up here in a little bit, and the SEC women's basketball, Lady Vols made it to the final game with South Carolina. But
first time since 2015 that they had been in the final. And by
Kelly Harper's done a very good job.
That's Pat, right? That's first time since Pat, I think. I can't remember how long she's been gone.
2015 is.
That could be. That might be. Right.
I can't do the math. Off
2012.
The top of my...
Yeah. So
okay.
No, that, so
close. So,
yeah, man, it's been 2012.
She's been 11 years.
So 2015 would have been Holly Warlick. But, that's crazy that it's taken that long. But
South Carolina is – last time they lost was the SEC tournament last year in Bridgestone. They've gone 32-0, and I think they're going to continue that.
They're going to win it all.
Yo, I mean.
They're totally going to win it all.
They are clearly the best women's basketball team in the country.
Caroline William DeMace is coming up next. They will get into everything that happened over the course of the weekend, including what transpired with the Predators, their game tonight, and then the Titans, and leading off with Jeffrey Simmons. What's going to happen there now that he has deleted his social media, unfollowed the Titans, all those things? Are we seeing another A.J. Brown situation? They will get into that coming up next. We're back at it at 9 tomorrow here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.